When I was ordained a priest through the sacrament of ordination and by the grace of God, conferred on me the wonderful gift of being able to celebrate and confect, as it's called, many of the sacraments, to turn bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus, to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to witness in the name of the Church and Jesus the joining of a man and a woman in matrimony. Unfortunately, the grace of baptism, the grace of my ordination, did not include turning water into wine. But today's gospel, Jesus performs this miracle, one of the first in his ministry, turning 6 stone jars of water into wine. The symbolism is very powerful, it's very potent. Not only does, through this miracle, Jesus demonstrate and proclaim his mastery over the material world, he, in a sense, foreshadows what will come. The symbols that John uses throughout his gospel are always very potent. He loves the imagery of dark and light, of water, of the angels, of colors. So when we read in John's gospel anything that has to do with water, we immediately think baptism. And anything that has to do with wine, we immediately think Eucharist. Jesus is therefore, through this act, showing us and linking for us what baptism and Eucharist mean together in the context of a wedding feast. What do I mean by this? I mean that when we are baptized, when we immerse ourselves in the water, we die with Christ. And when we come out of the water, we rise with him. We share in the paschal mystery, the death and resurrection of Jesus, in a very special way. Our lives are forever configured towards paschal mystery. And wine, from which the water is transformed, symbolizes Eucharist, symbolizes that death and resurrection of Jesus, that Last Supper moment, that hour which Jesus refers to in the gospel. He says, "My hour has not yet come." The hour he's referring to and is foreshadowing is that hour of his passion, that hour of suffering and death. That's the hour. That is where his body is broken for us. His blood is shed for us and poured out for us. That's the hour. So he's linking what occurs in our baptism with what will occur not just historically in his life, not just what happens within the Eucharist itself, but what happens in our own life, our own individual lives, that we share in God's Son's passion so as to share in his resurrection because of our baptism. And it's a lifelong process. It's a process that repeats itself time and again, sharing in the cross so as to share in the glory of the resurrection. We are now in the second Sunday of Ordinary Time, and we will be in a stretch of Ordinary Time from now until the beginning of Lent in February. And then, of course, we resume Ordinary Time following Pentecost. And the temptation is to think of Ordinary Time as just a blasé period of, we're just waiting until the next big feast. We're just counting the weeks or passing time. Ordinary Time is really meant to focus on our baptism. And for us especially, we've just celebrated last weekend the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, which recalls our own baptism, our own entry into the church and to life in Christ. And so now it's through these weeks of ordinary time that we explore what that means. What does that look like for us day to day? What are the implications in my life for that because I'm baptized? And Jesus elucidates that in today's gospel. It means sharing in the passion of Jesus so as to share in the glory of the resurrection. And many of us experience that in different ways throughout our life. The cross takes its unique forms, and sometimes they're lighter than others. But we try, we hope, with the grace of God, to bear with them, to suffer with Jesus on the cross, because through it, if we open ourselves to the experience, we can be transformed into something greater. What was bread, what was ordinary water, can be something extraordinary. And so ordinary time doesn't have to be just ordinary. It can be extraordinary. It can be a time of wonders. It can be a time of unfolding and breaking open that mystery of our baptism to become more what we were made for, more what we were baptized to be, more what we are called to be as followers of Jesus. And that's the great work that we have for ourselves our whole lives, and particularly from now until the beginning of Lent, which is just almost a month away. That's what it's about. And if we do that, then we become like a fine vintage. Not just the regular wine, but something special, something savored. I'm by no means a wine aficionado, although I have to admit I do like port wine. When I was in Las Vegas visiting my family, we went to a wine shop, and I saw a liter of port on sale for $8, and I thought, I have to have it. And I got what I paid for. But we become like a fine vintage, something special in the eyes of God. When we allow our lives to be transformed through our baptism week after week, we become something that's savored by God, loved by Him. That's what gives us, in a sense, the flavor of life, is going through the cross and sharing in the glory of the resurrection. It can be a tough experience at times, but it's a transformative and sometimes necessary experience if we open ourselves to the grace of the moment, if we open ourselves to what God is doing in our lives day to day, and even in the difficult times. Then we mirror that movement from water to wine, from baptism to Eucharist. And every time we come to Mass and receive Him in His body and blood, we become more and more transformed like Him, renewed like Him once again, to sustain us so that we can continue our life journey towards everlasting life. Yes to the cross, but yes to the resurrection as well.